This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast. Welcome back to Eldermorn, everybody.
Eldermorn.
Oh, yeah. We've got, it's no longer shout out to the two crew. That's right. Shout out to the Lou crew.
Yes!
Oh, wow.
The new crew is the Lou crew, baby.
That's right. We've got esteemed guest, Lou Wilson, our dear friend from D20.
And movie star. Our first movie star.
Include all of my accolades when I am introduced.
Let me pull up his IMDb real quick.
Thank you. But no, truly such a thrill to be here. You know, every young Dimension 20 cast member counts their lucky stars and waits for the day when they'll get the call to be on NADPOD. And today's my day, baby.
Truly a call to adventure.
Happy to make dreams come true. Just in case anyone doesn't know, if you're not a patron or you haven't been reading like the Reddit or the Twitter stuff, Caldwell's on paternity leave. Him and his wife had a baby.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Congratulations.
Yeah, Jake didn't know yet.
Yeah, Jake had
Holy
no idea.
Holy shit, what?
Yeah, sorry. I realized me and Caldwell and Merv have a text thread without you, and I think that's okay. Where we've been sharing pictures.
Yeah, I was excited when I saw Lou here instead, but I didn't know what to expect.
But they're new growing family. Everybody's doing very well. And we're sending our love to Caldwell and Susanna and the baby.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got so we're actually going to do something a little different for this guest arc rather than.
Yeah, walk me through it.
Yeah, let me walk you.
Talk me through it.
What's going on?
So rather than doing, you know, something where, you know, Zerk is captured or something like that, or we have to come up with some reason that he's not here, we are instead going to do a Game of Thrones style thing and just cut to another part of the world with all new characters. So not only will Lou's character be new, but this is Emily's character will be new, Jake's character will be new.
And everyone that you play will probably be new, right?
Yeah, that's true. So this is going to, we've kind of teased things that are going on around the King of Outerborough. That's where that dude Pettyjack came from and all the knights with the jackalope sigils on them.
Yeah.
They come from a place called Harrenford, and there's all these kind of happenings going on around the king there. We've had a kind of suspicion, we've heard a lot of rumblings that something was wrong there, and now we're going to find out what's wrong by cutting to your guys' characters.
Wow.
Hell yes.
These guys are going to be we're all going to be playing monks. You guys are all going to be playing
monks. Oops, all monks,
yes!
Baby.
Oops, all monks.
We're doing it.
And we've discussed it a little bit over text. Right now, nothing is going to be fully canon until we're in the episode, and we'll be able to give you guys like kind of full background into the characters. Because right now, we're just going to kind of get loose.
Okay, thank God.
And we're going to talk it out.
Thank God.
Except for Jake, who has a tight character, is ready to talk about it. Full out backstory for a full minute.
I have to tell you, I really like my character I came up with, but before I came on, I did pull some tarot cards to be like, okay, past, present, future, what do these three tarot cards mean? And I did come up with a good alt character.
Ooh.
Really?
There you go.
That's always good before a character creation session to just decide on a different character.
Yeah, just a second guess yourself.
I thought it would be like a fun way. I was like, oh, I wonder if you could come up with a character from doing past, present, future, three card spread. And actually, it was a really, really interesting way.
Yeah, I like it though.
Yeah, you know, I also basically have two characters that I'm deciding between. So
really,
yeah.
Hey,
great. I only have one. I know what I want, and I'm here to take it.
Nice.
I'm going to claim it.
You know, you're better for it. You're honestly better.
Hey, I don't know. I could appreciate a depth chart. You know, I could appreciate having some subs ready to go if need be.
Sweet. Yeah. So this crew. The lore is not completely set in stone yet, and we'll kind of talk it out. But this idea of this crew is going to be, right now I'm calling them the Bloodbound, but I'm going to change it because that sounds too much like Bloodborne. And it also sounds, it sounds a little too much like I'm trying to be goth. It sounds like a Hot Topic band, right?
Okay. Oh. I do like it. I'm just putting it out there. I do like it.
The Blood, we could call you guys the Bloodbound gang though, and that'd be kind of fun.
Bloodbound gang. Does it, it's got a nice ring to it.
Yeah.
BBGs.
So this idea is that the Bloodbound, temp name, is a dying order of warriors who were once the pride of Outerborough. Back before the Empire, back when it was its own territory, Outerborough was constantly flanked by enemies to the north and the south, and they didn't have as many natural resources as the people to the south, like down in the capital. So they couldn't mass produce steel, so their warriors had to be the best. And the Bloodbound was once a massive army who dedicated their lives to training and enhancing their abilities with magical experiments. So it's kind of like the Unsullied meets the Night's Watch meets Witchers. It's like you don't...
Meets Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
Why, Jake? Why?
Because I need to find out who Treadstone was.
Yeah, Lou, I don't know if you know this about Jake, but he really loves Matt Damon.
Okay. Hey, that's...
And I love John Wick, so I'm
I can
John
figure
Wick.
Out someone to love. Tom Cruise is the man. I love Night and Day.
I was just going to say that one. Night and Day is such a great Tom
it's
Cruise
great.
Movie.
Cameron Diaz is a killer. And
she's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And
she's great. Charlie, if you see her in Charlie's Angels, she's a great action actress, in my opinion. And
she's
comedic.
Just talented. Yeah. I think she's just fantastic. And I don't know why she needs... Somebody call... Honestly, I want to sub out. Let's put... Can you guys get Cameron Diaz?
You know really? What? Why don't we do two guests? We're going to do Lou. Cameron, why don't you pipe up? We've done your intro.
Okay.
Cameron.
Well, she's being
That's
shy.
A cool idea. Cameron. I'm gonna send her a link to the Zoom. One second.
Hold on. She's in the waiting room. I didn't let her in yet.
Can you please admit Cameron? Admit Cameron Diaz.
Cameron,
she's
Zoom,
in the waiting
your
room.
Your Zoom is... Your mic is muted. Cameron,
Holy
your
shit.
Mic is muted.
Yeah, we can see you, but we can't hear you, Cameron.
No, you have a really nice house. No, that's awesome. No, you have to... Okay, you know what? We'll bring her on for the next arc. Cameron Diaz.
Well, we'll get on the next
everybody.
Next arc. Next arc will be Cameron. It's fine. Honestly, she was deciding between like five different characters, which is just far too scatterbrained.
We don't have the time for that,
yeah.
All right?
She's a little too crunchy. She's into like the numbers side of D&D. I don't think she would have been very performative. So.
No.
She was mad we didn't have a battle map.
Classic Cameron Diaz. Yeah, she was like, we're not going to play in person. We're like, there's a pandemic.
She was like, no minis?
Yeah. She's like, I don't play unless there's minis. And I yeah. said, Cameron, you're being unreasonable.
Cameron Diaz, you are being unreasonable.
imagine if we just put with Lou Wilson and Cameron Diaz in the episode title.
Two movie stars on the podcast.
It'd be such a mind
fuck. Disservice to Lou because then everyone would be like, where's Cameron Diaz?
Yeah. Hey, Lou was okay, but I'm really mad Cameron Diaz wasn't on the pod.
Yeah, what a weird way to undercut your friends is to have them on your show and then also put a movie star
promise.
In the name with them.
Like an old school movie star in a way that no movie star will ever get to be again.
Yeah,
no.
Featuring Jake Hurwitz and Leonardo DiCaprio.
What the fuck?
Why is... Jake was fine.
Have to share billing with Leo?
So we've got this group that we're calling the Bloodbound for now.
Already it feels incredibly special hearing you describe us, like knowing that we're coming, that we get to just like plop our butts into this lore.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Plop our unworthy like the, butts.
Yeah, we're like the number one commodity this town has ever had. Like
just fucking the closest
now.
Thing to superheroes that were was yes. created in Elder.
Well,
Elder
you guys are well, we're going to talk about that cuz you guys are dwindling a little bit.
Yes.
So right now So as Outerborough joined the Empire, this was several hundred years ago, the Bloodbound dwindled, but it was still part of kind of the tradition of Outerborough. So young soldiers could elect to either kind of take the path of blood or the path of steel, which is kind of regular knighthood. The latter was much more popular. You guys were kind of the last class of Bloodbound. who kind of decided as young people, even when you guys were young, the order was dying, but decided like, I want to do this. I want to prove this to myself. And rather than, you know, getting all of the spoils of knighthood, getting your own land, getting your own glory, getting to do tournaments and things like that, which like most of the other young people were attracted to, you guys instead trained all day and had magic experiments done onto you so you could become as powerful as possible.
I cannot wait to absolutely look down on every knight we meet.
Oh, yeah. Truly spitting on anyone else.
I gotta say, it feels like Bloodbound is sticking already.
Fame seekers. Yeah.
So I imagine you guys right now look like you're extremely fit, like 50 or 60 year olds, but you could potentially be like, you know, between 100 and 150 years old because of the kind of magical mutations that you've undergone. We also talked about this a little bit on text, which I thought might be some fun lore and kind of to give you guys a shared backstory of this idea that the sort of magical enhancements that you guys were given kill most of the Bloodbound soldiers when they're young. So they get like super, you know, ripped and powerful and can do all these magic things, but then they end up dying in their 30s. Like basically as soon as you come out of your prime, you die, but you guys like, for whatever reason, your genetics, you guys go in the opposite direction.
Something special about us.
Something a little special about you guys. So I think like 99% of the Bloodbound are like a little bit cursed. And then there's this 1% who end up living like into their hundreds. Like you guys age, you know, 1 year every 2.5 years or something like that.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Hell yes.
So are there more than just the three of us, do you think? Or are we
you guys are the last
ones. We're the last three.
So the last blood.
We're the last three? They're
the last of our blood.
There's no
other ones.
That
is gonna make if any of us go down, stakes so high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is a little bit of that, you know, Witcher thing where there is a little bit of that people are intimidated by you. There's definitely some people who there's a little bit of a Han Solo thing to it when like talking about Jedis. It's just like, give me a breastplate and a sword any day. Like whatever crazy magic you're doing, I don't need to do that.
Yeah.
There's some people who still really look up to it and are just like, wow, it's crazy what you guys have accomplished. But there's other people who are like a little bit dismissive of it. And it's almost like folklore at this point where some people probably don't believe that you guys can do what you can do.
Can't wait to fucking prove them wrong.
Yeah,
true praise seekers.
I'm talking so big, and then my first roll will be like a one.
Yeah. That's the
I try
worst
to show
of, like,
off to a 4-year-old girl. I rolled a one.
All this build up from Murph is just convincing me that I'm gonna like walk into this, whisper to my weapons like I plan on doing, and then just immediately just eat it for fucking 6 rounds and feel like.
Yeah, I want to establish that you guys are like the old class that is getting like kind of pushed out by the newcomers. So you could by all means go in there like you're hot shots, but you are, you know, 80-year-olds who look like they're 60-year-olds.
Little rusty. Little rusty here.
I was going to say, whenever things go wrong, we could just be like, things just aren't like they used to be.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, when I was 30 and not 147,
If I wasn't 147, I'd come over there and kick your ass.
90 years ago, I would have nailed that.
But anyway, we can kind of decide as we talk about your guys' characters kind of where they would fit in. Like you guys would obviously, you know, have some kind of connection, whether you would be like great friends or not is kind of up to you, but you would have this shared history that would definitely connect you in profound ways. But you can kind of decide if like, oh, this person is kind of the king's advisor who's getting like pushed aside as these like Reaper worshipers are kind of showing up. This person is retired and is sometimes brought in as an advisor or something like that. Like, you know, we can kind of play around with it. But would anybody like to go first and kind of talking about their character?
Whoa. Should we roll for it?
Right, let's roll for it.
Lou, do you have dice nearby?
I do.
Ooh.
Does the high number go first or the low?
High number goes first.
I got a 6.
Shout out to the 2 crew.
Ooh,
wow.
I got a 6.
A 6 and a 2.
Inauspicious start.
I got a 3.
A 3? Guys, okay. Terrible start.
Wow. So this is
little
bad.
Rusty.
This is real bad.
Little rusty.
Emily with a big 6 goes first. What a terrible
All
omen.
Right. I was thinking because I used the dice that I'm thinking of using for my character, and it rolled me a 6, and I was like, okay, well, you and I are going to have a talk. Yeah. So originally when we first talked, I was like, okay, so I'll take like a level of cleric or something so that I can have some heals, right? Because it's like, oh, for 3 monks. And so with that, it kind of informed, maybe that's not the right place to start. I don't even know how to begin. Okay.
I can't believe Cameron Diaz is watching and not saying anything to this.
Cameron, stop looking so judgmental. Just
she's chatting.
She fucking hates it. Okay, so the things I'm thinking of doing are, I'm going to do mostly Way of the Ascendant Dragon Monk. The idea being kind of that, like, as an angry young youth, I went to this program. They jacked me up with some sort of draconic alterations and turned me into, like, a cold-blooded killer. However, as I've gotten older, I'm now starting to regret all of the murder and assassination, and I've turned towards cultivating plants because I wish to create life out of all the death I caused. So originally I was thinking like, oh, I'll be Ascendant Dragon and I'll have like 1 level of Peace Cleric because that feels like a nice thing. But then I started thinking about it because I really want my character to have this like 1 little plant that she carries around with her that is like struggling, but she's trying to keep alive as like almost an act of penitence for everything that she did.
I love that.
And I started thinking about it and I was like, oh, maybe I should be, because I have like this like like fire breath kind of stuff I can do. I started to think that maybe I should take to get the heals for the group. I think I might actually take 2 levels of Druid and do Circle of Wildfire Druid so that I'm like learning how to use the ash of my fire to create life and cultivate my plants.
That's cool.
Hell yes.
Currently her name is Tarragon Snake Root. Oh, it's Tarragon Snake Root because I'm thinking of taking the poisoner feat. So I can poison people. Because nice. I figure like that's part of her like assassin background.
Right.
And my plants could be poisonous. I haven't decided if she's like exclusively cultivates, but I think she's learning how to cultivate plants. So I think that in terms of like retirement, I'm almost seeing her kind of in retirement, just trying to learn how to cultivate plants and maybe reluctant to come back and kill again.
So this would almost be like 1 last job. If you were being
yes, I'm wondering if she's in 1 last job territory.
1 last job.
So yes, I'm picturing her just being like a silver-haired woman with a little plant that she's trying to keep alive mid-battle.
And wait, the climate up here, isn't the climate up here like super cold, right?
Yeah, it's definitely cold.
So it's really cool to like struggle to keep your plants alive. Yes. Like you have like a little greenhouse or something.
I'll have to be like breathing little fire.
Yes, also, your fire breath to try.
I also feel like the Circle of Wildfire Druid, since I have a little wildfire spirit I can conjure, I can essentially dragon breathe it into life, which seems really nice. So
that's cool.
Emily had a really cool idea off mic, which is that this one plant that she's struggling to keep alive is a super, super rare plant that grows after dragon fire burns something.
Yeah, so it grows from the soil of villages that have been raised by dragons. But since that doesn't happen anymore, it's like almost extinct. So this is like 1 of the last ones and I'm trying to keep it alive. But it's like a metaphor for Tarragon that she's like, I have to keep this alive because if I can keep this alive, it will like absolve me of all the death in my past.
Right. That's like the life. And it's like a super rare life that you're giving back to the world that hasn't been around for a while.
Yes.
A sad
But I think her little greenhouse. This also comes specifically coinciding with the fact that my New Year's resolution for 2021 is to learn how to grow plants.
I love it.
That's my thoughts of what
Tarragon
I might do.
Deep Root?
Tarragon snake root, because snake root is a poisonous plant. Specifically, it killed Abraham Lincoln's mother.
Great. Whoa.
But like a snake feels similar to a dragon. And tarragon is an herb that can also be called, like, I guess sometimes tarragon is also called dragon.
Was Lincoln's mom like poisoned by someone, or was she just like eaten roots?
Frankly, Murph, I don't know the details because I'm not a sick fuck who wants to know about every single death.
Holy shit.
All the tragedy Lincoln suffered. Goddamn.
Okay. Never had it easy.
Yeah.
Sweet. So that's what I'm thinking.
Why don't we talk about everybody's characters, and then maybe we could talk about how you all kind of, we know how you all know each other, but we can kind of talk about how you interact or what your relationship is like now, maybe after we talk about everybody's character. So I believe next in the initiative order at a big three.
Oh,
wow. Is our guest Lou Wilson.
Big three.
Do you want to talk a little bit about your character?
I just realized every time we roll a two on this, we should say shout out to the Lou crew.
Oh, yeah.
During this arc.
That's right.
That way people will, and to imagine people listening, dropping in, they'll hear, and it'll be like, they say this all the time. It'll be like, no, it's just when I'm in town. What a thrill.
Special.
I was thrilled when we went with like all monks, and I think I always like, every time I make a character, I feel like I'm always torn between like, do I like go online and get like real crunchy and figure out how I could do unreal amounts of damage for like the four episodes or I'm here, or do I go find and like do something that actually sounds like fun? I feel like this is a nice like synthesis. I guess it's the way of the Kensei. Mm-hmm. Is that, or Kensei?
I don't know how to pronounce it, but I'm so excited you're playing. I looked at it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I felt, especially like in like the diversity of the monks, it felt like it would be cool to have a monk that was into some weapons.
Yeah.
I've never seen somebody play. Are you going to use like a sword? Like what?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You're going to be able to use a bunch of weapons, right?
Yeah. We're going to have a bow and and like a sword. So I'll be a monk with a two-handed longsword. Or honestly, also thinking about a battle axe. But yeah, wanted to be a Way of the Kensei monk, and I think we'll probably go full all levels into Kensei monk.
Monks are, I'm only multi-classing because we needed like a healer, and then when 100%. It like presented itself as a good narrative, I went for it. Yeah. It's definitely not optimized, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, I think I was like thinking about dipping into like rogue for a little bit or dipping, but their level 11 ability essentially allows you to like guarantee it, like lets you add a plus. If you like drop three key points into it, it allows you to add a permanent, or not permanent, but like a plus three to attack and to damage.
I saw that. Like that's fucking good. So cool.
And then I want to like pick up, I think as part of like the lore of the character, but also to be cool, I think I want to pick up, do magic initiate one level of warlock and get hex. And so I could use hex to add a d6 to that.
I'm doing fate. Because I kind of built my character already, and I took fate touched, so I could get Hunter's Mark.
Exactly. Okay. I see the vision.
We're in the same zone here.
But in terms of the character, I think I got really excited when Murph started talking about the kind of elements of like weird magic modification. And, you know, kind of in blending what, like, the whole Kensei Warriors thing is, it's just, like, you move with your weapons like they're a part of you. And like, they're kind of like your paintbrush, your canvas. I think there is something, I love the idea of playing a monk who's just, like, deeply, like, I don't know on a magical level what's going on, but I feel like there's, like, a deep, deep attachment to my weapons, almost like a Linus and his blanket kind of vibe of like, I will not go anywhere without them. If you
don't take
my
sword
away, I'm so upset and like uncontrollably, like can't, like, I don't know what the attunement is, but it's like, I think there's just a level of attachment between me and my weapons that is like, like baby like. It's like, I don't think they're my mother. And I also don't want to be like axe hand. Like that was, I didn't want to be like a dude who was like, my hand is an axe. Like,
yeah.
That doesn't sound like that much fun for me.
I think that sounds so fun because I, as a person, will get incredibly emotionally attached to an object in a way that feels yes, it's a different level of connection.
Yeah. It's also it's interesting comparing it to Tarragon's kind of way of dealing with the past is like Tarragon's like, I kind of want to escape this, I want to get away with this, and
or like I want to take what's been given to me and create life with it instead of death.
Yes. And your character feels more like I'm gonna hang on to these old ways. I'm gonna hang on to these old ways.
As we're talking, I'm 100% imagining that my weapons are like crusty and like rusty and kind of nasty. Like the edges are perfect.
Because you don't even trust someone to clean them.
No. And I honestly am nervous about cleaning them. So I think they're just like kind of nasty. I think they have like, I think like the, it's mostly going to be like a bow and like a either a sword or an axe. I think the bow's name is Fang. One is Fang and one is going to be, I think it's one is Claw and one is Fang.
Hell yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Oh, I also thought it would be fun if I don't know what kind of positions we may have as the remaining members of the Bloodborne, or Bloodbound, excuse me. I think I would love to be in charge of recruitment. And just be terrible at it.
Trying to generate signups. There's a reason there's only three of us left.
The reason that is failing.
You haven't signed anyone up in years.
Yes, it's mostly me screaming, calling people wussies for not like joining it.
You have to put the swords away when you show up at their doorstep. They're too rusty.
Absolutely not. I have to show them what they are, the legacy, the tradition they are becoming a part of.
All you do is emphasize the discipline and how much you have to give up.
Exactly. There's none of the fun.
Sacrifice is the greatest joy of life.
Most people die by the time they're 30.
Imagine having zero attachment to anything but your brothers in arms.
And your weapons and your arms.
And meanwhile, I think there's like probably a captain of the guard who has just like an awesome cape and competes in tourneys and stuff and is probably...
Yeah, just throws parties.
Yeah, it's probably like your nemesis.
Oh, 100%.
Just like and now you guys are old, so he's probably like gray haired, but like still like very like well mannered in court and stuff. And
I'm picturing a situation. This is me just like imagining a situation where Tarragon is compromised and the plant is in danger. And I'm just picturing whatever your character's name is, like going and like trying to pick it up, but not willing to put down his sword.
Yeah, I'm for sure like doing that thing where you try and like scoot it onto your foot. I'm like trying to balance it on like using the tip of my sword, trying to push it. Because I'm not putting them down. That's crazy. Don't be crazy.
I'm also picturing you at coat check, just being like, "What do you mean I can't bring a sword into a restaurant?"
You know what? You guys go in. I'll wait. You just have dinner. Do the whole thing. I'll be outside. Just let me know when you're done.
The whole thing.
I wonder too if a fun thing about these Bloodbound is maybe this was all the project of like a single mage who was almost like a lich or something who lived for like a very long time, and maybe that mage at some point went bad or went crazy or it went so there's a little bit of a blemish on kind of your honor there, so it's also really hard to recruit because it's just like, wasn't that made by the mad mage Arcanius? It's just like, don't fucking talk about him, he's got nothing.
We don't know that guy anymore. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. Don't talk about also, father like that.
Exactly, check your sources because there is some stuff where he's like fine, like I don't know, depends on the angle. If you're asking me, I think there's an angle where you look at it and it's kind of okay. So
you kind of have to like just write off some of his later stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I think there was so much good stuff, and then he got into the weird ripping souls out of people's bodies.
Sorry, I hear the music
stuff,
from the tourney coming in through the window, and I want to go to the tourney.
I love the idea that we are created by someone who became the Mad Mage.
Weren't you? Yeah, one of the Mad Mage's pupils. No, he just experimented on us.
I am one of his experiments. Thank you.
Not pupils.
So actually,
there's a difference.
Pretty sympathetic if you
Huge
think
difference.
About it.
Massive.
Yeah. It would be kind of different because it would be like if you guys were, you know, given
like
magical
order.
Abilities by a wizard, but then you have your own order. So you have your own captains and you have your own people who are teaching you things. So it's like you guys don't have an actual connection to, you know, the mages or wizards who made you guys magical. What makes you guys like special is your training and stuff like that. So like you, there could be like a you know, sort of a sore spot of being like, you know, it's almost like an athlete that's on steroids or something. It's just like, you still have to work out. It's not because of the steroids. You don't get it.
It was the training, not the genetic modification.
I earned this. Yeah. This just helps.
I earned this. And can I fly? Do I have dragon's wings sometimes? Yes. And I earned them. I earned my dragon wings.
I earned those at the gym.
Do you know how many push-ups you have to do to turn your traps into wings?
Lou, is there anything else about your character that you'd like to share? Do you have a name or anything?
I got to work on the name. I'll try and come up with the end of, by the end of this session zero, I think I might have, I'll start churning on that.
Just completely check out. Just completely check out and think of names. Yeah. The whole time.
Lou, are you teasing dropping your name at the end of this episode?
Yeah, what's up? So the last thing that's going to happen, honestly, after Murph says goodbye, is going to be my name is drop.
Cameron Diaz.
Oh my God.
Sweetroot and Cameron Diaz.
Diaz okay, is kind of a cool name.
If you're going to be Cameron Diaz, no, I'm going to have to be Terry Moore or Lucy Liu.
I might be Ben Stiller. Yeah. That'd be kind of rad.
Speaking of Jake's characters, who's not going to be Ben Stiller. Jake, you want to chat about your character?
What about Ren Stiller?
yeah, perfect. Excellent.
So he's had a crush on Lou's character, Cameron Diaz, like forever, since high school, right?
Cool.
Okay, yeah.
This is a fastball down the middle.
And then he jizzes on his ear.
And then he jizzes on his own ear.
Doesn't that happen in that movie?
It sure does.
Yeah.
Wow, what a flick. Brett Favre did it at one point.
Brett Favre
is I think I was thinking of modeling my character almost after like the Crannog men from Game of Thrones. So he's like a dude from the bog, a little bit like essentially if you look at Matthew McConaughey's character in True Detective, like a bayou, kind of like a wise bayou guy. He is a Way of Mercy monk,
which is very cool. And I was literally between Way of Mercy and Way of Ascendant Dragon. And when you said that, I was like, thank you. Because I was so conflicted.
What drew you to Way of Mercy? What is cool about those guys?
So Way of Mercy is like, if you, with your flurry of blows, with your offhand, if you want, you can heal somebody. But also if you want, you could harm somebody. So it's almost like you make a choice. It's like, and then as like at higher levels, you can do it like twice. You could like heal and harm with like the same attack.
Yeah, you basically use one of your flurry of blows to do you can do it to heal.
Right. So I could like heal Lou and harm somebody else.
I'm hearing the narrative kind of come together. You've got Lou's character who's like sticking with the old ways. You've got Jake's character that sounds like he's kind of in the middle, and then you've got Emily's character who sounds like she's trying to find like peace in her older age. I love it.
Ooh. I think it is.
I love it.
And I kind of like the idea of him being almost like a motivational speaker or something that like, but that's like not actually wise. You know, like when somebody is just like, it's not about what you do. It's about how you do it. Like if you listen to a Matthew McConaughey interview, he just like has all these like weird,
like platitudes.
Weird platitudes that basically mean nothing. Yeah. And that's what I want my guy to be like spouting all the time.
Just like finding the positivity in life as a warrior who gave up his whole life.
It's not about how you live. It's about how you die.
Are you going to go for the plague doctor mask that's in the...
Oh, yeah. So then that was the other thing. Like, when I fight, I want to wear a plague doctor mask, which is like a giant black bird beak looking mask. It looks fucking awesome. And I'm using, I want to use Kenku stats and kind of like flavor him almost like a crow.
So cool. Ooh. Yeah, that very much fits this aesthetic too, because we're doing kind of that like.
So you're like crow inspired, I'm dragon inspired, and then Lou is weapon inspired.
Yes, weapon inspired. No animal connection there.
Claws and fangs, though.
I did. I came up with the names Claw and Fang when we, in another, we were also in the text off mic, we were discussing possibly having animalistic.
Yeah.
Influences, and in that I was like, oh, yes, my character would be, those would be my claws and my fangs.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I also want to have a dog. That was the other thing that I've been toying with. I like don't know if I'm ready for the responsibility of having a familiar because I fucked up so hard in my first try.
You know, Jake, I'm going to, as someone who often likes to have a familiar, and I know people complain about it, but I think that my DMs give me familiars because they know I use them and make use of them and bring them into play a lot. You just can't forget about them.
Yeah, I'm gonna get a little dog mini. I want it to be a dog. I'm gonna put it right, but I think I was gonna make the dog really lazy, so that way if I forget about the dog, it's just like they were asleep.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Good.
Maybe it's almost like because when you have a familiar, you have like kind of a connection to them. So maybe the idea is that like the dog is old and has lived an unnaturally long life, but it's just an old dog, so he's just sleepy all the time.
That'll be That's good because I'll have my potted plant, Lou will have his weapons, and you'll have your dog, and we'll all have an equally rational attachment to something.
I love it.
Jake, do you have anything else you want to share about your character?
I think that his name is going to be Bo Babineau.
Ooh.
Bo Babineau.
These are some guys, I'm honestly very intimidated to even suggest a name at this point. With everything going on.
Bo Babineau, Tarragon Snake Root. I keep forgetting my last name. Tarragon Snake Root and Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz. I mean that's a squad if I've ever heard
technically one. We're not lying then if we say with Lou Wilson and Cameron Diaz, because Cameron Diaz will be on the show. That just won't be
that
the way
would
you
be
think.
Really
guys,
good.
It sounds like I have to name my character Cameron Diaz.
I gotta be honest.
SEO
business wise, it would be amazing. We would get so many downloads if we could say featuring Cameron Diaz.
That's interesting.
So if you could just
our completion rate would be really bad. We'd get a lot of people clicking for Cameron.
It's definitely something that a corporation would do, like think was a good idea. It's just like get celebrities at all costs, and don't think of the fact that you would just make your whole audience would be like, okay, why?
Change our cover art to Cameron Diaz with a sword.
Yeah. I love this. This is a great idea. We'll get a ton of clicks.
Can that just be for this campaign? The art is just always Cameron Diaz with a sword. And I'm fine with my character looking like Cameron Diaz if that's how we want to skin it.
Oh, okay. Maybe mine should too.
Can we all just be
lookalikes?
A silver haired Cameron Diaz.
That's interesting. And I'll be full on Ben Stiller. I think that works.
Two Camerons and a Stiller.
I think I'll actually look like Ben Stiller and Cameron Diaz's child.
Nice.
Ooh, I love that.
Okay, great. This is all really good, everyone. Really good and usable.
The Bloodbound.
Yeah. Why don't we?
We were so badass when Merv started talking. We were so badass. The Bloodbound. Special experiments. And now by the end, it's like we're Cameron Diaz, Ben Stiller, and their offspring. Yes. How did we lower our status so much in 40 minutes?
I don't know. I think we've only climbed.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful, beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want, and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here. I'm recording this ad literally hours before going to the airport on a trip to visit some family in New York. And if you're wondering, no, I have not packed my bags yet. Packing stresses me the hell out because I have to do wardrobe math about how many shirts and pants and underwear to bring. And let me tell you, folks, I always get it wrong and I always pack too much. That being said, there is one thing that always goes into my suitcase without a second thought, and that is my Raycon Everyday Earbuds. Raycon offers amazing audio quality at half the price of other premium audio brands. And Raycon's optimized gel tips are designed to fit comfortably in your ears and actually stay there. which is good because it means I can go on a jog and not worry about them falling out and getting sucked into a sewer grate. Although I guess that's probably how the Ninja Turtles get their earbuds, so if some mutant creature living in the sewer happens to get them, I guess that wouldn't be too bad. But thanks to Raycon, it's not something I ever even need to concern myself with. So, if you're also going on a trip soon and are looking to bring along the perfect pair of earbuds, go to buyraycon.com/pawpaw today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That is right, you're going to get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's buyraycon.com/pawpaw. All right, thanks for listening and have a great trip. Bye-bye.
So why don't we talk about a little bit the context of this adventure? So we've talked about kind of what the background is of these warriors, but let's talk about kind of the scene in this area called Harrenford. So Harrenford is where the castle of the King Thurston Brightleap is. And as we've heard in the campaign so far, the king is very sick and is possibly going to die soon. So the situation you guys find yourself in is there are some kind of claims to the throne coming up, and there may be some people coming into town. We will describe it at the top of the official episode to kind of set the lore into stone. But there's this kind of tenuous period of kind of trying to do a smooth transition while certain powers that be want to keep the king alive, and others, you know, kind of want him to die and want the throne for themselves. So you guys are going to be kind of in a position where your loyalties will kind of be questioned, because I think...
Yeah, would we like the king? Would we be like happy with our experiments done on us, or do we resent it? Because like Matt, like, Jason Bourne thought he didn't like the experiments.
Interesting. So I'm just trying
to... Whereas like John Wick had traded a cool assassin currency.
Yeah.
Cool. So you guys kind of have to decide where you stand on the Wick versus Bourne scale.
Well, okay. Is there any chance it's kind of an IMF situation where for the most part they're good, but then when Rogue Nation, it's kind of overtaken from within and things change? Is it like that?
I don't know as much about
that's
Jason
kind of like
Bourne.
A Diaz in a way, because like if you think about it, Cameron Diaz's character in There's Something About Mary was very trusting until people violated her trust.
Okay,
and,
so we'll say
she's also a really good dancer. She's a really bad dancer in Charlie's Angels, but she it starts out with her having a dream sequence that she's doing a really good job.
Oh, nice. Interesting.
Yeah, so we'll say Cameron Diaz if you're kind of in the middle. John Wick, if you're like very pro mutant warrior, and of course we've got Jason Bourne if you're mad about it.
This is actually a really good question though. Like, what would the king's thought of our existence be?
So,
would it be like?
So we will establish this in the episode, but kind of what I've been toying around with. There is kind of a happy accident that the last name of the king was Brightleap. And the reason I did that is because their house sigil was the jackalope, which I thought was like a cool mythical animal. But I think since this is this tradition, I think Brightleap will be like a very, very old family. And I think there was a Brightleap who was the kind of the first hero of the Bloodbound. So I think you guys do feel a commitment to this family. The official sort of stance is that you are the warriors of this family. So going with tradition, you would be like, I want to defend this king.
Question. Are we the warriors of this family, or are we the warriors of the office of king?
That's
that is an
kind of up for debate. It's kind of, so far you haven't had to deal with that. Because there have been just bright leaps throughout the generations.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, it's like Kingsguard in Game of Thrones almost, where like they just have to, it's like they're loyal to the office, not necessarily the family.
Right. So since the office of this particular territory has always been the Brightleaps, you guys haven't had to like make that distinction. So it is kind of like if there was a new king, who wasn't a Bright Leaper said that you would kind of have to decide, are we loyal to the you know, crown, or are we loyal to this family?
Interesting.
Do you think that we took oaths?
Definitely.
And some sort of initiation?
Yes, you definitely took initiations.
So we should definitely decide, even it can be amongst the three of us or all four of us can decide, if at some point before we play, if what those oaths were worded as, right?
Because yeah, we should
really inform.
That is true. You would actually, right now, we're kind of just like,
we should write our oath
out,
like the Night's Watch.
Oh, that's
that,
awesome.
That would just be rad.
I would love that, because I would love for Tarragon to be a bit oath bound, you know, even though she's trying to atone for what a fucking killer she was most of her life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bo's kind of looking for an out, like just like poring over the oath, like it could be interpreted like this.
I'm looking for an out. I think maybe if you guys were to take an oath, my guess would be that it would probably be to the crown. It would probably be to like Outer Borough. It would be this idea of this like territory as like
so
the strength of
the territory.
So protecting it. So I think it might be a little up for interpretation.
That is kind of cool, because then that almost puts it, then you really do have to analyze the situation to know how to best protect the territory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you guys are in this position too, right? Where you know that when you guys were playing as Fia, Zerk, and Henry, you've heard that there's kind of this worm tongue situation going on, where there's a sorceress, apparently there's like these Reaper, you know, there's these Reaper influencers that are in the castle advising the king right now. So you guys are in this tough spot where you might be like, either great, these people might bring more power to Outerborough, or you might be like, I don't trust these people, they might kill the king or something like that, or they might try to take the crown for themselves. And like
so would we have seen a time in the history of this place that would be more trickster, like would we have seen this sort of kingdom as like a trickster kingdom at some point? Or
so as far as like trickster versus Reaper in your guys' everyday life is not as much of a thing. Like I would think that your guys' kind of part of the world is a little bit more agnostic.
Don't know much about Trickster, and we're becoming aware of the Reaper sort of religious sect because they're starting to influence the core.
Generally across Eldermorn, it's because you've got the sprites who are kind of like you know, these fairies that are of the Trickster. You're aware of the Trickster's existence, but it might even be seen as kind of like a nuisance. And there's kind of no purpose in, like, if you follow the Trickster, you're doing that because you really believe in those ideals. You don't really gain any. The Trickster is not like the type of god that, you know, demands worship or something like that. And then on the other side, the Reaper is so, you know, for lack of a better word, like grim, that if you're super religious with the Reaper, there's kind of it's kind of a red flag. And so you probably wouldn't be that either.
Okay, so I'm gonna flavor like the sort of druidic stuff if I go with that. It's tough because the one level of peace cleric is like such a good ability that would give us all, and I really want to do it, but I just feel like the flavor of going for the wildfire makes more sense. If I do that, I think like the sort of powers or magic that would come to Tarragon would be more coming from this original experiment and having nothing to do with the trickster.
Right.
Which is good. That's cool. How I would prefer it.
What kind of battles were we fighting in our prime?
So when you guys were in your prime, so you guys are probably like younger ones of you would be like around 100, and the oldest you would probably be like around like 150 or something like that. So probably like 80, 90 years ago, you guys were up north fighting like giants and stuff in the valley as they were trying to attack the empire. So
sick.
By the time you guys were born, by the time you guys were in the Bloodbound, it was already dying. You guys were this small crew who had teachers who talked about the old days back when it was more popular, but it wasn't even popular then. There's like 6 or 7 generations before it was really a thing. You guys did this kind of to be special when you were young. You kind of made that decision.
I am definitely going to have lots of cool scars from the giant wars.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Dope.
Covered in tattoos.
Putting it out there.
Covered in tattoos. My character will probably be shirtless wear enough tattoos that it looks like I'm wearing something.
Yeah. Awesome. So I think that's another thing about it too, right? Is that these warriors would be able to like really brave the elements, and the idea would be that they'd be able to use whatever weapons, whether that be their own body. Like, they are never stuck in a corner. And that's kind of the idea.
I do love this, especially because it makes me feel like if we ever encounter a weapon, it could enter your like litter of weapons.
Easily. I feel like I have a bunch of empty holsters on me at all times, just in case. I wear cargo pants because you never know.
Cargo pants, no shirt.
Exactly.
I want to point out that since I did roll my character, I want to warn everyone I have a -2 to strength. So
sick.
Just like emotionally, I'm just fully living that dexterity life.
You got to.
So I'm hardy, but not in a strong way.
So I think that, as we had kind of set up in our session zero for Eldermorn, sort of the idea of this world is that there is this one continent that is the known world. The bottom half of the continent, like the south half, is the Undermountain Empire that Outerborough is a part of. And above it is sort of this wild, frosty north where there are giants and stuff. Almost kind of think like wildlings from Game of Thrones.
So perhaps in the past, were we more dealing with threats to Outerborough from up north?
You guys were always part of the Empire when you guys were even young. So you guys were kind of like the pride of Outerborough. Like, yeah, we're fighting for the Empire.
The pride of Outerborough?
Yeah.
So,
So you guys were like, we are the ones in there doing the real fighting. Like, you guys would get sent in deep, where it would be, you know, soldiers and stuff from the Empire would get sent up into these mountain ranges to sort of do like a pincer effect to catch these North folk as they're coming down and trying to attack. And you guys would be sent in almost to like flank them, like come in from behind. And it's almost like a Spartan thing where, you know, like one of you guys could take out like 100 other soldiers.
Hell yes, we could.
Again, right. This is so sick. All of our first rolls are going to be like 1 through 4.
Nightmare.
I already rolled a 2. I rolled a 2 to even talk about my character.
I would love, yeah, exactly.
I rolled a 6. We all rolled so poorly to talk about our characters. The single digits. I do have a question. Like, is there an element of secrecy to what we do? Because we are like, because we have been dispatched in this like elite military sense. Are there things that we've seen that we're not allowed to dissipate to the common folk?
Ooh, yeah, we could probably talk about that at some point. I would think that there was probably like uglier parts of the war and stuff that probably you would be expected not to disclose. Like, you guys, I think were very, you know, it's not like the Unsullied or something where you were like kidnapped and like brought up and forced to do this. This was something that you elected to do, but it's still like once you join, you're almost in a cult. You know what I mean? Like you have joined to be like, I'm going to prove to myself that I can do this. And now, you know, it's been 100 years and your character can kind of deal with that in whatever way you see fit.
Did the mage go mad like during our tenure there? Like, the last people that watched the mage go mad?
That's so heartbreaking. If like this was a person who like basically set up our lives, set our lives into motion, and then like became cruel.
Yeah,
we have to watch them. We have to.
That I should live to see the last days of.
Maybe that was, dude. Maybe that was even your guys' adventure, because we are doing so. These characters, I don't know if we've mentioned this. It's crazy we haven't mentioned this. You guys are going to be level 11, so these guys are pretty far along.
Yeah, baby.
So we can say that at one point, these characters in their prime were probably like level 15 or 16. So they've lost a little bit of a step. You know,
but that's so cool to have been able to do something, and now the power's gone away.
So maybe it is a situation that the mage who gave you guys your powers, that was sort of the big bad in your campaign that you guys did when you were like younger, and you guys.
So we had to
him.
Like basically kill our dad in a way.
Yeah. I think that's pretty rad. Then after, maybe, and then it kind of gets dissolved and everybody else has kind of died off.
Whoa. And Lou's character is trying to keep it alive. My character is responding to it by like trying to start over. And then Bo became a motivational speaker.
Bo's just trying to make peace with everything.
Can I ask how, on that kind of note, how old did we have to be to join? Like, is this something where we like were like six? Or was it like 16, 18?
This would be like 16, 18. This would be, you know, when you decided, when like recruiters came around and were like, you know, chance for power and glory, 100 gold to every person who signs up for the Outer Borough Army, you know, that type of thing. And electing to kind of take the harder route for glory. And I think it's something like the Night's Watch a little bit too, where there are probably some people who think they're going to be able to do it and then end up not taking their oath and not going through with it.
Right.
I'm still thinking about this freaking mad mage and like what you have to come up with this person's name and the giant wars, just knowing that like in the biography of our life, there's giant wars and a mad mage. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, to play a 142-year-old character, but actually like, I don't know. I feel like I've played like, I'm not sure I've played 150 like older characters before that have like seemingly lived as much as our characters are have.
Yeah.
This is exciting.
Are we roommates?
Yeah, are we roommates?
I could definitely be roommates. I mean, I could be living in like the. I would probably be turning mine. I could also like not be retired and be just like moving towards like a more peaceful.
The order is disbanded, essentially. So I think
there is something nice, though, that I'm still engaged in the actions of the order. But I just like for every life I take, I like plant a tree.
Yeah, but it also is cool that we're like all separated. Maybe like if the order is disbanded, we're like the last three, and we're coming together for that one last job.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Yeah.
Oh. Can I? Ooh. Yeah, can I live in whatever our guild hall used to be with nobody else?
Oh my god! Yes,
but bats in the ceiling.
You haven't changed
building.
Any of the posters out. Yeah. It's all exactly. the same. You're just clinging onto the glory days.
It's a storage facility. Yeah, it's basically like a barracks, and they just let you stay in the back room. Oh god!
And
so
I'm constantly trying to get you guys to come and just spend the night. Hey, come on down. Remember, it's just like the old times. You know, it'll be us.
Yeah, you know, that's why I don't want to go.
I set up the bunk beds. We got the cots out. You remember the cots?
Are you trying to lure me with cots, man?
I got all of our bindles from when we were up north. I dug them out. I got all the blood off of them. Come on down.
You cleaned the bindles.
I think I'm squatting in a broken windowed greenhouse.
Yeah.
Or I could run a plant shop.
If you've become like an herbalist, that's kind of fun of like if you're kind of on the not on the edge of town, but if you're just, you know, away from the castle a little bit, like in the town square.
I think
like
I run
a
plant shop and it's not very successful and I'm in a lot of debt because I'm not very good at growing them yet.
Cool. I think I want to live in like a family's cellar, like a place that's too damp for anybody to rent, but like I'm from the bog, so I'm fine with it. And I sometimes babysit.
What? I would not trust you to fucking babysit my kid.
I'm teaching the kids.
A 30-year-old man babysitting children.
I think I'm going to be 99 so that my triple digit is right around the corner.
Oh, that'll be cool to celebrate your 100th birthday. Yeah. I like the idea of being 135, just 100 years older than I am now.
Yeah, can one of the episodes just be a party?
So I think from what it sounds like, it's maybe Lou's character is the only one who's there, who's like dealing with the day to day in the castle. Yeah. So maybe that'll kind of be like the opening.
And
yeah,
Lou's like the one that wants to get the gang back together, right? Trying to lure us there with like bindles and cots.
So I think maybe Lou has kind of like an honored position amongst like the king's advisors, but his like influence is kind of like dwindling. And then I think
I sit all the way at the end of the furthest end of the
table.
It
has nothing to do with never wearing a shirt, right?
Yeah,
you like never get the invites, always arrive too late. You get invites that are like, there's a meeting yesterday.
Right.
A lot of showing up to empty rooms, being like,
the Raven got lost. Early, sorry.
Yes, Lord Diaz, we should get more rusty swords. Anyway, let's talk about the coin. But yeah, and then I almost imagine M's characters and Jake's characters, you guys are probably almost eking out a meager existence based on, you know, a little bit of like the goodwill of your folklore. You know, like I would imagine while a lot of people would be like, ah, most of that stuff's fake, most of that stuff's not real, there would be some people that would be like, she fought in the fights against like the North folk and everything. We should, you know, go easy on rent this month with her and things like that.
Not a victor from the abandoned plant shop.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons my plant shop isn't doing well is because I also grow a lot of poisonous plants and I keep accidentally mixing them up and sending people home with poisonous plants.
So you're a murderer. You're an actual murderer. Hey, so my cat ate one of the plants and spit up.
The kids that I babysit, I'm really bad at keeping them from eating the plants too.
You guys, see, this is the thing. You got to stop babysitting and you got to stop running a plant shop and you got to come back and sleep on a cot, all right? Now, I'll tell you, no way to hurt a kid sleeping on a cot.
In my bones.
Sweet, guys. This all sounds super, super fun. I'm super excited to get into this. We'll hop right into this next week. And of course, I think we're going to wrap this one up. To end the episode, Lou.
I will be dropping my name.
He's got that name.
Come on.
Oh my gosh. Hit us with that name.
The name of my character, my birth name is Jafari Hightower.
Yes.
However, the name I earned during the Giant Wars that was given to me by the Giants, that is pretty much what I am known as in Outerboro, is Jafari the Small.
Whoa.
Jafari the Small.
I love that. And also, you should be like 6'3".
Oh, 100%. Jafari the Small. For a giant, I am small. But for us, I'm normal size.
Can we write into our backstory that at one point, we, like, essentially all three of us, like, lived amongst the giants for a short time because of some, like,
their ways.
Or like to learn their ways, or maybe there was like some like weather event that like we were up there to fight, but there was this huge weather event, we got stuck there, and then we just kind of like cohabitated with them.
I think you guys would have more experience than most with things like that. Like I think that as the Empire, there's this feeling of these North folk like they are the enemy. But as somebody, as people who are like behind enemy lines, you're like, oh, there's all these barbarian tribes and everything. But there's like this like coalition of North folk who want to conquer the entire continent, just like the Empire wants to conquer, you know, the continent. But then there are other people who are just like, I just want my land. I just want to like live out here. We are trying to eke out an existence in this tough area. And then there's people who maybe joined the war because it's like, it's too fucking cold up here. We can't grow anything. We can't do anything. So there's like sympathetic people who are, you know, kind of for the war to defeat the Empire. There's, you know, people who just kind of want to conquer the Empire and get all their riches. And then you guys probably also met people who were like, whoa, we're a different kind of crew of giants. We got nothing to do with this situation. I don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So
I may pivot so that the plants that Tarragon grows are all like giant plants that got like fucked up by the giant wars. And she's like trying to help repopulate them.
And they would be big as hell.
Plants are all massive.
Yeah.
They need like crazy cold conditions.
Yeah.
This is the biggest cucumber I've ever seen.
Don't eat it. It's very poisonous.
Sweet. That all sounds super fun, everybody. Why don't we go ahead and wrap this one up? We're going to be doing an after show. Well, not an after show for this necessarily. I think we're going to be doing some bonus content for Patreon after this. Maybe we'll do another D&D court, I think. So if you'd like to listen to that, head on over to patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet.
Ooh, wow.
Lou, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
You guys can check out my debut single, Coda. Will have been released and likely available on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, wherever you guys get your music. Follow me on Instagram at @sweetlouzinho, Sweet Lou, Zinho.
Nice.
Congratulations, man.
Does anybody else have anything to plug?
Yes, I'd like to shout out the P.O. Box. Ooh. We've got some lovely, lovely holiday notes from Annie M., who is a chaplain resident in Texas, a.k.a. a real-life cleric. So thank you for that lovely holiday note. Margin Charge and Alex the Sarge also sent a lovely holiday letter. Thank you guys very much for your service in the hospital. You are the true heroes.
Thank you.
D'Angelo sent us a very nice note as well, and a photo collage of their trip to Manchester. Oh man, shout out to Manchester.
Ooh, that is just truly, it's beautiful and painful to think about Manchester.
Yeah, we'll be back.
We will be back there.
And Mitchell W sent us a box of cigars. Hell yes.
I'm sorry,
thank you,
what?
Mitch. And Michelle sent us a lovely postcard. Thank you, Michelle. John also sent a postcard, and you might know John better as the creator of the Every Nat 20 in NADPOD video. So thank you very much for chronicling our crits. Oh my goodness.
Thank
Please
you.
Please don't chronicle in the other way. We'd like to forget those ones.
Yeah, yeah. Just the 20s, please. Lopiera sent us cord sheet music for all of Tread Never's music. Oh my God.
Whoa.
They also included a letter of fun marine biology facts. So thank you very much for that. And we'll continue shouting these out next week. You guys honor us.
Yes, thank you all so much. Have a happy new year, everybody. We're recording this a little bit ahead of time, but it's about to be the new year. Hopefully 2021's better. Let's hope.
It is really funny, all the people who talked about listening to our first episode of 2020 and us being like, the year of the double crit.
We were so hopeful.
And I think we were right, though. We just got crit on.
We didn't do
the critting. We got crit on.
Let's do the opposite this year. 2021 is going to suck ass. So fucking brace it.
Yeah.
Brace for it.
Let's make that prediction.
2021 is going to roll like shit all day long.
Yeah. We just got to endure. Sweet, everybody. You can follow us all on, well, Lou, you're not on Twitter. You're on Instagram, though. Lou, what's your Instagram again? Plug it one more time.
At Sweet Lou Zinho. That's at Sweet Lou, Z-I-N-H-O.
So follow Lou on Instagram. You can follow the rest of us on Twitter at CHRiversMe, at Caldy's Caldwell, at Astro Demily, and at Jake Hurwitz's Jake. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of the nation.
It's the end of the show, everybody, and that means we need to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders.
Y'all continue to treat us so nice.
Oh, wow. What a nice Southern lady. Starting with Julia Walsh, Brad D., Jeffrey S., Haldor Frostback, Steelbreaker, and Matt M., the giant council who ruled in favor of leniency and peace with the Lou crew, even though all of them kept insisting they were bred in a lab to be the ultimate weapons and breathing fire and whispering to their weapons.
And, of course, we got Jordan DJ, Cutter W., Jibe G., Zolo Dolo, and Dylan B., the Mad Mages. Technically, though, they never went mad because they had the love and support of each other.
Wow. Schubert the Mushroom, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Andrew M., Beardman Dan, and Scott D., the owners of a seed shop. They always look at Pity with Tarragon when she comes in, knowing how few seedlings will clear the charred dirt she plants them in.
Danny P., Elena C., Mixologist Michael McD., and Balnor's Boy, a group of giants that found the Lou crew during the Giant Wars. After playing chess with their bodies, they were delighted to learn that their new chess pieces could speak.
Andrew B., Justin I., TJM the Gnome Barbarian, Elena M., Trele the Crayfay, and Jared E., knights that follow a specific code in Harrenford. 1. Protect the king. 2. Hold open the door for strangers. And 3. Absolutely razz those loser bloodbound freaks.
Christopher B., Austin Bonesaw, M.R., Daniel R., Cyborg version of Josh the Cobalt, and Octolick, the blacksmith union who have been desperately trying to forge a weapon that will talk back to Jafari. They just feel bad for him.
Gage M, Skokilla, Richard X Machina, Michael L, and Kelvin Noodles, Thurston, Bright Leaps, Leapers. They are the Petty King's dance troupe whose moves consist entirely of soaring leaps.
Sergio, Salazar, Solomon, Zacharias, De Sequani, Trash the Traveler, Jory S, Dana G, Callum L, and Ryan. Ka plot makers who have said that overall, the Eldermorn campaign has been amazing for the small and humble bed business. The cot industry is booming!
Jack L., Flawless Whale, Temporal, Sam L., Nicholas C., and Reese N.S., the marketing team that came up with the name The Pride of Outerborough for Harrenford. Sam L. really pushed for the Bane of Outerborough, Flawless Whale fought hard for the Gem of Outerborough, and Reese N.S. championed the Innie of Outerborough, which actually almost won.
Samuel B., Mike H., Matthew E., Colton B., and Adam G., a group of concerned Eldermortians, I guess that's what we're calling them, who felt the need to point out that Monk sounds a lot like Fonk, Bonk, and Zonk, and that this bit will likely not die with this arc.
Oh no! Mateo C., Nabadger, Panama James, and Adrian the Halfling Bard, the Plague Doctor Mask Boutique, where Beau shops for his vast and expensive collection.
Dan, Nikki W., Grace G., Drew Nasty, CC Lulu, the lobbyists for Eldermorn's four biggest cigar companies who are desperately trying to establish Beau as a cigar smoker in Fia's absence.
Jay, Barnzenator, Douglas A., and Michelle O., the giant gardeners who taught Tarragon everything she knows. It should be specified that knowing something doesn't mean you can necessarily do it.
Timmy R., Lucas B., Aaron S., and Kevin M., the hard-hitting journalists who covered the Giant Wars and eventually turned the people of Eldermorn against the war.
Austin C., Hogfish's Above Average Hog, New York, Stephen C., KJ, and Michael M., Jafari's roommates who are forced to deal with rusty weapons mounted all over the walls, and even worse, rusty dishes in the sink.
Raul N., Mike K., Maxwell C., and Nick L., the newest employees at Tarragon's plant shop. There is a lot of turnaround because the staff is constantly being accidentally poisoned. Be careful, everybody!
Karen T., Ekathor 666, Justin Raccoon, Nick W., and Michael C., the test subjects who were given a placebo while the rest of the Bloodbound were given superpowers.
Whoa.
The placebo gave them a ton of confidence, okay, which unfortunately led to them being slammed into oblivion by a bunch of giants.
Yikes. Esme M., Spartagnus, Nathan, Casimir the All-Knowing, Big Bad Beardo the Mad. The kids Beau babysits. They're not intimidated by their super soldier guardian, mostly because he spends most of the time talking about the Bourne identity.
Eric McD, Jack Mehoff, Burley T, Axel A, Nero Claudius Caesar Augustus Germanicus, and Christian A, nasty teens who sneak into Tarragon's plant shop and smoke up all her sweet giant herb.
Whoa.
Little do they know it's essentially giant oregano and has no actual effect, but they're still the coolest kids at Outerborough High School.
J. Dragonborn, the Sandraean, Ben A., and Feldonis, conspiracy theorist radio hosts who believe that the Mad Mage was actually an alien controlled by the government. Bookvar is a frequent listener, and it honestly explains why he's so scared all the time.
Dave H., Catherine S., David K., Christian S., Keith K., and Brittany B., the owners of the sword shop at Outerborough's failing mall. If it weren't for all of Jafari's purchases, this ill-conceived store surely would be out of business by now.
Kyle H., Emilio D., Frankie Koala, Big Bad John, Aston S., and Blair the Bug Blair Barbarian. Cameron Diaz's agents, who lobbied hard for her to be on our podcast and are pretty aghast that she didn't speak during the appearance. But don't worry, you're going to get your 10% either way.
Ponk Chop, Chanel M., Argent, Alice, Minette F., Pat L., and Akutha A., previous monks of the order who saw the Mad Mage slowly losing their mind. Luckily, they all decided to pivot and open up a deli, and it's going great since they make sandwiches so fast.
Lauren H., Josh D., Janina E., Maddie Y., the eldest Barry, and Ryan S., owners of a rival plant shop that prides itself on selling non-dead-looking plants, but little do they know, that's the whole charm of Tarragon Shop.
The Bone Duster, Joshua H., Robit CRSP, Idrisil, Brentley C., weapon salespeople who can spot Jafari coming a mile away. Sometimes they just listen for the pillowing of his cargo pants. When he approaches, they know to raise all the prices on their cool swords since he simply can't resist.
Micah B., Carly Ann, Clark of the Thunderfucks, Jorge C., and Connor Savage. Sprites who live in the mountainous regions of Outerborough and all wear really tiny little puffer vests to keep warm. Their light is a little diffused, but it's too adorable to do things any other way.
Russell H., Christopher J.O., Cole the Goldfish Gremlin, Logan S., and dread pirate, Jacoby Roberts, captain of the Enchantress, knights who make fun of the Bloodbound because they do things by way of steel. Little do they know, steel is also used to make spoons, so Bloodbound is still way cooler when considered theoretically.
Leviathan, Demi A, BioQuirt 7, Remington CD, Mike R, and Everett P, dog trainers who trained Babineau's old dog. But that was over a decade ago, so the training is fully worn off. Thankfully, the dog simply is just too old to misbehave.
Carson E, Sean K, Julia W, Lindsay W, and Adam C, chefs who are trying to recreate the wildly popular dish of shrimp scampi up north, but all the lakes are frozen, and so far the scampi has had to go shrimpless. Keep trying, folks. That's it for this week. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you to all of our listeners, all of our Benevolent Council of Elders, and of course, all of our Patreon subscribers.
And Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year.
Beautiful, beautiful ears that we talk into.
Happy New Year's to everybody. You can head on over to our Patreon if you want to listen to our after show. We did a D&D court this week, so check that out. In the meantime, we'll see y'all next year.
Bye, sweeties.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.